This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Join us now as we go to the live broadcast of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us in another live episode of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast, episode 213, Sin Cannot Reign in Our Lives, Covetousness. The spiritual appetizer that we will be using in this episode is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we've been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives, covetousness. Let's read now Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." One of the biggest problems in the world today is that of covetousness. It is a big problem in the world. Timothy was warned about this by Paul. Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, was told by Paul, "The love of money is the root of many different kinds of evil." A lot of evil is brought into the world by people coveting what they don't have. And we're going to look at this today. It causes a lot of people to miss worship services as well. One of the biggest problems that the world has today, at least the church has today, is forsaking the assembly because we have to pay for all the things that we have coveted in our lives. Let's look at a person that had this problem. In Matthew chapter 19, we're going to read Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 26. "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Assuredly I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich to enter the kingdom of God.' When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, 'Who then can be saved?' But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" Let's look back at these verses here in Matthew about this man that had many possessions. He had become rich, and he had put his trust in these riches. And we're going to see this through this story here. He comes to Jesus in verse 16, and he says, "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Something I want to point out to you here. What good thing? Where can I spend my money, is what he was saying, so that I can have eternal life? I'm rich. I can buy eternal life. And Jesus, you just tell me what I need to do in order to purchase this from you. When Jesus told him to keep the commandments, he thought, well, I live a good life. And don't a lot of people today live a good life? But in reality, if you look at the things that they have, the fancy things that they have in their life, they're spending a whole bunch of money on this extravagant lifestyle. How many people today have extravagant things? You know, I love my iPhone and my iPad, but I oftentimes wonder if those things are extravagant needs that we don't really need in our lives, but we spend thousands of dollars on them in order to have them so that we can have the luxuries of doing it. And so in verse 17, it says, so he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. Jesus knew his heart. He understood where this young man was coming from. And it was not from a point of really wanting to know how to inherit eternal life. How many people come to God today with this exact same thing? They don't really want to know how to have eternal life. They want God to tell them what they already think is true. That's where this young rich ruler was. Jesus told him, keep the commandments at the end of verse 17. He said, I do all these things. I don't murder. I don't commit adultery. I don't steal. I don't bear false witness. And I honor my father and my mother. And so apparently from looking at these things, if you were just looking at the outward, looking in, this young rich ruler looked like a good man. But he had a very, very bad problem. He trusted in his wealth to take care of him. And so in verse 20, it says, the young man said to him, all these things I've kept from my youth, what do I still lack? In reality, he wasn't really looking for what he lacked. He was wanting Jesus to tell him how good he was for keeping all these things. But Jesus didn't do that. He looked at the one thing that he still needed to improve in his life. And that's the way Jesus sees us as well. Remember Luke 13:3 and Luke 13:5, I tell you, nay, unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Instead of looking at the law, he should have been, how can I better myself? How can I live more appropriately? How can I use my money to serve God? But he was wanting a pat on the back, and that's not what Jesus gave him. He said in verse 21, if you want to be perfect, notice what Jesus said. If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. In another place, Jesus would tell us not to lay our treasures up on earth, where moths decay and where rust breaks down, but lay our treasures up in heaven, because those things can't touch our treasures in heaven. But this young man was going to go away sorrowful, for he had many possessions. He did not want to sell his possessions in order to have eternal life. That's what he was going to hold on to. But the young man heard what saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was covetous, was a problem in his life. He loved money. Did you know that Jesus tells us the same thing? If we look at Romans chapter 12, and we look at verse 1, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Jesus did not tell this young rich ruler anything different than what he tells me and you. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And so when we come to God, we ask him, how do we inherit eternal life? God looks at us and he says, sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me and you will have treasure in heaven. Present yourselves to me as a living sacrifice. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yea, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then going over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, Paul would say this to the people here at Galatia, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. And so the young rich ruler was unwilling to give up his wealth, his physical wealth, in order to follow Jesus. He wanted to hold on to it. Jesus tells us not only do we need to hold on to him, but we need to crucify our own flesh. We need to put ourselves to death. How many possessions does a dead man have? Not only that, he says, crucify your flesh with its passion and desires. Make my passion and desires your desires. Don't lay up your treasures here on earth. Lay them up in heaven. Come and follow me, because following me is more important than anything that you can do here on this earth. This earth is temporal. It's only for a moment. You carried nothing into this world when you were born, and it is sure that you will carry nothing out of it. But if we go to heaven, we will be the richest person in the world. And so the love of money or covetousness is a big problem within our society. How many people today would give up everything that they have in order to follow God? Jesus said you have to give up even your own life in order to follow him. He said, pick up your cross daily and follow after me. I want to read another account found in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This man was a fool, building himself treasures on this earth. He made himself a great livelihood. And so he said, instead of helping the poor, instead of using my money the way that God wants me to use it, I'm going to tear down my barns, I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to use my money to take care of myself. How many people in the world today, that's exactly the way that they live? They store up all this money, but when it comes to giving to God, they give God very little. When it comes to helping people, they help people very little. They tear down their barns and they build bigger barns. Look at our houses. The size of our houses compared to the size of our families in a lot of instances and different things. Would we be willing to give it all up? If Jesus said, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me and you will have treasure in heaven, would we be like the young rich ruler? If we're making a good living and we are just tearing down our barns and building bigger barns, but never doing anything good and productive with our money other than taking care of our own riches, buying ourselves bigger and better toys, doing things for ourselves, but never really sharing that with anybody. Are we like the young rich fool? Are we coveting things? In verse 15, it says, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. If we go on to Romans chapter 1, and we look at verses 28 through 32, we see another lesson. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Do we approve of those who are practicing these things on this list in our life? Do we approve of covetousness in our life? Do we practice such things? Does our lifestyle tell us a lot about who we are? Notice the beginning of verse 32. who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things, these people know the righteous judgment of God, but they continue to practice these things anyway. How many Christians today know the righteous judgment of God and do many of these things on the list here today? Maybe unknowing sometimes, and maybe not to the extent of what we're talking about here in Romans chapter 1. But we've got to be very careful of this. We've got to be very careful of the love of money. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's read verses 9 and 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's read verses 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Money is going to bring about many sorrows. It's going to bring about many problems. And we've got to be careful of it in our lives. Now, there is no sin for being wealthy, but there is a sin in not using your money appropriately. And that's where we've got to be careful. Because if we don't use our money appropriately, then that's where it starts turning into covetousness, serving money instead of serving God. And so Paul told the young gospel preacher Timothy, money is dangerous. Those that get caught up in it are foolish. It's going to cause destruction and perdition. It's going to run them through, and they're going to have many sorrows in their life. So, as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you.
So, as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you.
We thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Byway Media by visiting our website, bywaymedia.org. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.